Okay. Good morning. Morning, everybody. Here we go with Daf Samech Gimel. Okay. Usually, I'm a source of some information, if that. Today, I'll do a fantastic job reading the Gemara, I assure you. But in terms of explaining the Gemara and helping you understand what we're describing over here, so, you know, much like the art scroll does a fantastic job transliterating every one of the birds mentioned in the Torah, so I'll do the same. I'll transliterate. But in terms of actual translation, explanation, you know, obviously it's a struggle because we're really just simply unsure. A lot of the Mesorah has been lost. I'm going to show you Rashi at the beginning of today's daf, which will state that explicitly. We have Mesorah issues in terms of which birds are kosher and which birds are not kosher. So good. So let's go. We are on Samech Beis Amud Beis, and just a little bit to finish up from yesterday's daf. And we will then move on to today's daf. Amar Abaye, we are Samech Beis Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's right in the middle of the line. The line starts off with the words Maklif Ela B'Sakina. Amar Abaye, Abaye says Tarnagola Da'ag Mechad Mi Shmonas Fekosu. As we mentioned yesterday, there are 8 birds that are subject to a suffix. We do not know. We're unclear whether or not these birds are kosher or not kosher. Now, as we explained in yesterday's daf, what's the lack of clarity? Meaning, we know what the Simani, Tahora are. We know the signs of a kosher bird. And so just simply open up the animal, look for the crop, look for the gizzard. What's the issue? So the Gemara explained yesterday that of these 8 birds, their gizzard is peelable. You can peel away at the gizzard, but you can only do so with a knife. You can't do so with your hands. And by the kosher birds, we're looking for a gizzard where the outer membrane is so easy to peel, you could just simply peel it back with your fingers. That's normally the case. On these 8 birds, you can't do it with your fingers, you can only do it with a knife. And even if you had, even if you sun-dried it a little bit, which was a method we talked about yesterday's daf, it's a health nish. It's not gonna assist you. You still need a knife in order to do it. So, Tarnagola da'agma, the chicken that comes from the swamp. So that's one of the 8 sfeikos. Vehainu Mardu, and you go back to the list that we mentioned yesterday, one of the things that we mentioned yesterday is Mardu. It's Hainu Hachid, they're synonymous. Amar of Papa Tanagola Da'agma, Asiri Tanagola, Lasa Da'agma Sharya. The male is prohibited, the female is permitted. Visimancha Moni Velo Amonis. And the Gemara gives us a great way to remember, because we know that when from the nation of Ammon, the males who convert, they can convert, but you can't marry them, right? Lo Yavo Bekal. The females, however, are allowed to marry. In other words, they can convert and they can marry into the Jewish people. So, good. I mentioned yesterday, at the very end of yesterday's daf, as I'm going to repeat now again, the Gemara over here is not making a distinction between male and female bird, right? Because, as I mentioned yesterday, the Gemara will never make a distinction between male and female bird. We don't know, right? Someone told me after the daf yesterday, there are ways, you know, outside the genitalia, there are ways of determining gender of a bird. There are certain telltale signs of the bird, feathers, something like that, you know. Right. But in terms of the actual genitalia, there's no way of knowing. They're just the birds. So Tosus over here points out that this is actually names of different species. One particular species was referred to as the male, and the other species was referred to as the female. Tosos advanced further makes the argument, you can't say that we're separating the genders, aside from the fact that we can't tell the difference, but there's a halachic consideration as well. We know that whatever is derived from something else has the same status, right? Tosos writes very clearly, the chol hayotim natar tahor. Anything that is produced from a kosher has got to be kosher. So you can't, in other words, how did the male come into being? The male came about because it was born from a female. If the female's kosher, obviously the male's kosher. So don't say that we're making a distinction between male versus female. They are different types of species. One happens to be called the male and the other one happens to be called the female. Okay, good. Amar Rav Shavur. Amar Rav. Okay? Shvor Andarfta Shari. Okay, I have in my notes parrot. Okay, you like that? You don't like it? Again, I make the disclaimer from the very beginning of today's daf. I really don't know. I'm gonna guess. I have some notes over here in terms of what these are, but just really unclear. So the domesticated andarfta, that's okay. But the pirus andarfta, but the wild andarfta is aser. V'simancha pirus rishi. And in the time of the Gemara, they had a Jesse James. they didn't call him Jesse James, but there was somebody there who was like a popular bandit. His name was Pirez. So it's a great mnemonic, meaning, he doesn't have this notoriety. But back in the time of the Gemara, Pirez was like this popular villain. So that's a good way to remember that the Pirez is Usser. Am Rav Huna Bunya Share. Okay, now I have in my notes penguin. Okay, would anyone like to confirm or deny that? So Amarav Hunaburin Yashari Paru Asir. But the Paru is going to be Asir. Visimancha Perua Amgusha. The Perua the Sorcerer. Once again, back in those days, a very famous magician. Right, by the way, I mentioned this many times. The word in the Gemara for magician is Magusha. It's the same word. Though the English and the Aramaic is the same. Okay, the Pruam Gusha. Amar Rav Papa Mardu, the Mardu bird, which we talked a little bit about yesterday, right? It made it into the list of Sveikos. So Rav Papa says it depends. Zagid v'achil share. If it, while eating, it stands up, so that's okay. But Sagid, but if it sits down, if it bends over and eats, Usser, it's going to be Usser. So obviously we're talking about two different types of species. I cannot imagine that we're talking about the same bird, and the way it eats is going to determine whether it's a kosher bird or not a kosher bird. I can't imagine. So I would imagine, you're right, again, I'm a lot of speculation today. I apologize, just a lot. But I imagine we're talking about two different species of birds. So the one that bends over and eats, that's going to be Usser. Visimancha, and again, the Gemara gives us a mnemonic, a good one over here. Lo yishachavel el acher. Don't bow to a foreign god. So in other words, obviously we're talking about Avodah Zarah, right? Don't bow. So in other words, the one that bows over is similar to Avodah Zarah.
You don't know what this one is like in English.
I don't know what it is. No. Again, when I said parrot, when I said penguin, they're guesses. I don't know. Amar Shmuel, Shasi Chamra Asira. Shasi Chamra? What is that? The one who drinks wine?
The wine drinker.
So v'simancha shesu yaim psul na'avoda. So again, different certain species of bird. The mnemonic, again, excellent mnemonic. Shesu yaim, those who drink wine is pasul avoda, cannot do the avoda. So this bird that happens to be called the wine drinker, so that is going to be a non-kosher bird. The amr shmuel, mazga chamra asire. The mazga chamra, again, species of bird. It translates literally as the diluting of wine. Doesn't mean that the bird's pouring you a drink. Just it's a type of bird. So bas mazga chamra sharye, but the bird species known as the bas mazga, the daughter of the mazga chamra, that's going to be mutter. And the simancha, and again a mnemonic to help you remember, yafekoach abel mikoach av. The strength of the son is sometimes stronger than the strength of the father. Right? We've used that in different contexts of the Gemara over here. The Gemara uses it as a mnemonic. Amra Rav Yehuda, sakitna aricha. Okay, again, in my notes, I have the word flamingo. Yes, no, he doesn't say, right? I bet, again, even as I say it, I say it with no certainty whatsoever. So, sakina aricha saki v'simke sharya. Long legs, red legs, so that's going to be mutter. V'simancha meruzma. And the simon to help you remember that is meruzma. Meruzma, Rashi says, is the name of a bird that was very popular in the time of the Gemara, and it was red, and it was kosher. Okay, so meruzma is going to help you remember that the red-legged flamingo is going to be mutter. Gutse v'sumke, however, if it's short-legged and it's red, asiri, that's going to be asir v'simancha nanos pasal. And the way to remember that is nanos pasal. Nanos pasal is from Bechoros, and some of the Kohanim that cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash are those that are blemished. One of the blemishes of a Kohen is if he's a dwarf Kohen. A dwarf Kohen cannot operate in the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah. Ariche sakiv yiruke asire. Long legs, but green or yellow, however you want to go over here. That's going to be asav v'simancha yirokim psulin. And a way to remember that is yirok is pasul. This goes back to the Mishnah that we learned earlier in the third parak regarding the bird that went through the fire, and the innards were burnt, and we know that because it actually experienced a change of color.
I'm Rabbi.
You weren't here for that.
Noted.
Still
noted. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Shlach ze hashalad dagim en hayam. So the shlach, okay. So you know what we're doing now, okay? No, so I'll explain. What we're going to do now is we're going to actually go through the birds mentioned in the Torah. The birds are mentioned in the Torah twice. Once in yesterday's Parsha. Okay, hope everyone was paying careful attention. And another time in Parsha Shmini. One of the things that we'll be doing over the course of this morning is we'll be comparing notes. Meaning, you look carefully, and I should have assigned this as homework. Yeah. But what you should have done prior to today's daf, I have a little compilation here in my Gemara, is that you should have written out the birds in Parsha Re'eh, and you should have written out the birds in Parsha Shmini. Again, those of you who are following at home, you could pause right now, and you could do this, and you will find discrepancies. The most notable discrepancy is the actual number of birds that are mentioned. The Gemara is going to note that a little bit later on. Here in Parsha Re'eh, yesterday's Parsha, the Torah goes through 20 birds. Okay. Those in Parshas Shmini, how many over there?
24, was that?
Less. 19, I believe. 19. Okay, yeah, we'll do it, yeah.
How come
we're saying 24?
Yeah.
Gemara's going to ask that very question today. Yeah. Oh, you came to the right place. Okay, so... Okay. So, and not only that, okay, that's one discrepancy, which obviously requires clarification. And you will also note that the actual names of the birds mentioned both times are not exactly the same. Subtle discrepancies between the way they're mentioned in Parsha Shmini versus the way they're mentioned in Parsha Re'eh. Okay, so stay tuned because that's part of today's daf, and we're going to discuss that today. Also, what we're going to discuss today is the Gemara is going to try to help us identify some of these birds mentioned in the Torah. Right. Well, yesterday we read about the Nesher Peres Vazniyah, Ra'ah Ayah Dayah, Orev, Basya Ana, Tachmas, Shachaf, Nates, Kos Yanshuf Tinshames, Ka'as Rachama Shalach, Chasida Anafa, Duchifas Vahatalev. Okay. That was yesterday's list. So the Gemara right now is spending time with the Shalach. Okay? Amar Rav Yehuda, Shalach. It's it's the bird that catches fish from the ocean. What do we say? Pelican?
No, kingfish.
Pelican. Ashola dagim enayam. Again, I'm not saying anything. I know I've made this disclaimer too many times today. I'm not saying anything definitively. I'm not an expert. I'm not even an amateur. Okay. So duchifas shahore kapus. It looks like a crown on its head. Whatever it wears on its head, what's that thing called? The crest. Tanya nami hachi duchifa shahore kapos. Kapos means it's like doubled over, right? That which is the crest is like doubled over. Vizehu shehevi shamir lebeis hamikdash. The shamir brought one to the beis hamikdash. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan ki havechazi shalach amar mishpatecha tohom rabba ki havechazi namala amar tzidkascha kahare el. When Rabbi Yochanan saw the shalach, so he would quote the pasuk of mishpatecha tohom rabba, your judgment is very deep. And when he would see the ant, he would say the pasuk of tzidkascha kahare kel. The Gemara gives no explanation of why he would cite these psukim. Rashi does give explanation. Rashi gives two explanations. I'll go through both. Rashi number one says, Sitkascha kare el, da'afilu namala isle chiyusa kigedola. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu is tzedek. Tzedek means like tzedakah. Like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is extraordinarily charitable. How is a Kadosh Baruch Hu charitable? The little ant has as much life force as this big bird. Okay, in other words, despite the fact that the ant is a tiny little creature, but still, it's got chiyus, it's got life force. So that is tzedakah on the part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What about the we'll call it the pelican. What about the shalach? Why did Rav Yochanan quote the pasuk of Mishpatecha Tahom Rabbah? Rashi shezimna sa shalach lishpot v'lasos nikmascha bedagas hayam lahamis hamizumenim lamos lamavis. So the first pshat that Rashi offers is, you know, this shalach basically serves as a malach lamavis. meaning if it's a particular fish, it's time to go, right? So the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a phone call. The phone call goes to the shalach and says to the shalach, it's that time for that fish to go, and the shalach is the one who serves as a messenger of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and so he quotes, Rav Yochanan quotes the pasuk, Mishpatecha Mishpat, meaning that's justice. That's divine justice. It's time for that fish to go. Okay, that's pshat one of Rashi. Rashi offers the second pshat. Lashon Mori, Lishna Achrina, Rashi says another pshat, Linamala hu omitzit kaska kahare kel, shemezonose mizumanim la below torach. The ant gets its food and the ant doesn't have to work that hard. Ant is really low to the ground. Ant eats basically whatever's on the ground. So in that regard, Akash Baruch Hu tzedek, tztaka. Meaning for the ant, it's like whatever, here, there's your food. The imisha ta nishbarata dano ad tahom rabah. And on the other hand, however, other creatures, they have to work hard for the food. Kigon shalach, like the shalach bird. Shetarech levakeshas menazonasav. There, it's got to circle the ocean. It's got to look for a fish. It's got to swoop down. It's not easy. It's harder for the shalach to find its food. And for that, he quotes the pasuk of Mishpatecha Tahom Rabah, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has some sense of justice in this world, and it's Tahom, and it's really deep. Meaning we don't sometimes understand how come it is. Some people don't have to work that hard, and some people have to work very hard, and it's okay. Mishpatecha Tahom Rabah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a divine system of justice that is very deep, and we don't always understand it. Good. Two pshatim. Back to the Gemara. Amar Ameimar. Likne Uvitni Shariyeh. The Likne Uvitni are permissible birds. Shakne Uvitni, however, the birds known as Shakne and Bitni, Makum Shenagu Lechol Ochlin, Makum Shenagu Shelo Lechol Ein Ochlin. So it depends. If people in your community eat those birds, so good, you can enjoy them. If you live in a community that don't eat those birds, you cannot enjoy them. And the Gemara recoils at that suggestion. Like, what? That's going to be dependent on what the minig is? So atu b'minhaga talya milsa? That doesn't make sense. Why should a bird's permissibility depend on the minhag makom? So in the Gemara says, no, that's not crazy. It depends whether you live in a community that the peres v'azni are popular or they're not. This goes back to what we learned yesterday. Remember, peres v'azni are the two birds that have one siman tahor. Right. So if you come across a bird, as long as you know it's not the peres v'aznia and it has one siman tahor, so the only conclusion is it's a kosher bird. Remember what we said yesterday, there are peres v'aznia are not popular birds. They're not indigenous. They're not indigenous to the community. They're out in the desert. So generally speaking, you can work with an assumption that you find a bird, it has one siman tahor, it's not the peres v'aznia. However, some communities happen to have a lot of peres v'azniyah. So in those communities, they don't know, and the peres v'azniyah is very popular. So for them, if a bird has one siman tahor, they're going to refrain because of a concern that it may be peres v'azniyah. However, most communities don't have any peres v'azniyah, and they find a bird with one siman tahor, so it's fine. So yeah, so in that regard, it's going to depend on the minhag of the community. Amar Abaye, kui v'kukui asiri, kukusa sharya. Okay, again, different types of birds. Your guess is better than mine. So, b'ma'arava ma'ka yilaveh v'karilei tachvasa. In Eretz Yisrael, that last bird that we just mentioned, the kaka'usa, so they did not eat in Eretz Yisrael. They would give lashes out for anyone who eats in Eretz Yisrael, and they called it by a different name. They called it the tachvasa, Tana Rabbanan, Tin Shamas. Okay, we are now holding by the Tin Shamas. Could be. Do not know. I'm curious now. The Gemara is... Sorry. Trying to figure out if the Gemara is going in any particular order... It doesn't know. No, it doesn't seem. Let's put it this way: it does not seem like the Gemara is going in any particular order.
It's Bahachomet Bahati
Right. In other words, in Shmini, I was comparing Parshios again. In Shmini, it's a kos ves hashalach ves hayanshuv, the es hatinshemes ves hakas ves haracham. Okay, that doesn't seem to be any particular order. For now. Amar Abaye. No, we did that. I'm sorry. Tana Rabbana. Tin Shames. Ba'osha Ba'ofos. Tin Shames is a loud bird. It's loud. The Gemara says not only loud, it's the loudest. Rashi says it cries out at night. It shrieks at night. Rashi gives an old French word for this bird. Okay. Any help from the art school in terms of what it may be? Any suggestions? An owl. Maybe. Okay. So, Ba'osha Ba'ofos, Ata Omer Ba'osha Ba'ofos, Oeno Ela Ba'osha B'Shratzim. Now, the Gemara says, maybe it's the loudest of the Shratzim. You'll know that the Torah gives a list of Shratzim as well. Right? The Torah gives a list of birds, and then the Torah gives a list of Shratzim. And in your Shratzim, also. Right, the Tinshamis is also mentioned as one of the Shratzim, one of the eight Shratzim that the Torah prohibits and also gives off Tumah if in fact it's dead. So maybe Tinshamis over here refers to a Sheretz. So the Gemara says, "Oh, Eino Ela Ba'osha B'Shratzim." Amar Tzeolam Ami Yigamami Deshetar Nejeshes Bahem. The Gemara says, "Well, we know that it's very important that whenever you interpret Psukim in the Torah, so you must interpret based on one of the Yigamamidos. One of the Yigamamidos of the Torah is Davar Halamim Inyano." Davar halami me'inyano, context. Context. So, b'me'a kasa medaber, ba'ofos, afkan ba'ofos. So, when you read Tin Shamas in the Torah, when you read it contextually with the other birds, obviously the Tin Shamas is describing a bird. It's not describing a sheretz, meaning there are two creatures in this world, they happen to go by the same name, but one Tin Shamas is a bird and the other one is a sheretz. How do I know that? Answer is context. Because the one that's listed with the birds, obviously is a bird. Context. The one that's listed with the Shratzim is a Sheretz. Tanya Nami Hach, we have a Brisa that supports this as well. Shratzim Ki Agavna. Tin Shamas Ba'osha Shebeshratzim. Ata Omer Ba'osha Beshratzim. Ma'ino Ela Ba'osha Ba'ofos. The Brisa here goes from the other angle, meaning the Tin Shamas mentioned in the Sheretz. It's a loud one. By the way, Tin Shamas, the word Nishima means like a breath, like it has very strong vocal cords. Again, the Gemara says, Davar Alamim Inyano, context. Amar Habaye, Ba'osha Ba'ofos Kipuf. The loudest of the birds is the Kipuf. Now, again, in my notes, I have a bat. Does he make that suggestion? We all know, by the way, this is ninth grade biology. A bat is not a bird, it's a mammal. Okay. Yeah, so, bat probably is not correct. Again, this is a lot of guesswork. Ba'osha Ba'ofos Kipuf, Ba'osha B'Shratzim. The baos, the loudest of the shratzim is the kurpadai.
Okay. Some say it's an owl.
What, the kipuf is an owl?
The,
oh, the kurpadai?
Yeah,
but that's describing a sheretz.
A mole.
Mole, right? Okay. I have in my notes mole also. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda. Ka'at ze chakuk. The ka'at is a chakuk. Again, and if we were in the time of the Gemara, all this would make perfect sense to us. The ka'at is the one mentioned right after the Tin Shamas here in Re'e. Okay.
It says it's a pelican.
He calls it a pelican? Okay, good. Rechem zu sarkuk. Or I'm sorry, shrakrak. Okay. Right. After the ka'at in Re'e, it's the rachama. I assume they're synonymous. Amar Rav Yochanan, lama nekrashmo racham, kevin sheba rachem, ba'u rachamim la'olam. When the rachim came into the world, rachamim came into this world as well. Rashi over here explains rachamim in terms of rain. It introduced rain into the world. Amar Rav Bibi Barabai v'hudi yosef amidi v'avid shrak rak. Rain comes only when this particular bird stands on something, on some object, and lets out a call, a cry. Ugemiri. Okay, I know I'm going to get a lot of questions after this next line of Gemara. Hold. Reserve your questions. Ugemiri, we have the following tradition. Di yasiva ara visharik asa mishicha. That if this bird were not to stand on an object, but it were to stand on the ground, Rashi explains that that's very unusual for this type of bird to do, to stand on the ground. But if it stands on the ground and lets out some sort of cry, some sort of call, the Mashiach would come. Shenemar, the pasuk in Zechariah says, Ashrik alahem ve'akab etzeim. I call out to them and they arrive. So this particular bird has the ability to herald the arrival of Mashiach. Amalar of Adar Barshim alamar barav ide v'ahud yasiv Bekurve, the Gemara says, yeah, but we've experienced this, though, where there was a bird who was standing on a plowed field, visharak, and let out a cry, v'asa galel, afzekelamuche, and along comes some sort of stone, and lands right on the bird, and splits its head open. So, amaleahu biyadai bidahava. This particular bird was lying, and is divine retribution for falsely forecasting the arrival of the Mashiach, so the bird, the head of the bird, split open. Okay, a lot of these Gemaras obviously are clearing the yard. They're going right over my head. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Orev Ze Orev. Okay, here's what we're doing now. When we talk about the Orev, of course, is one of the birds mentioned in the Torah that is forbidden. It's one of the non-kosher birds. But when the Torah describes the Orev, it says, Kol Orev Lemino. Now that's Parshas Re'e. That's yesterday's Parsha. Parsha Shmini. Same story? Yeah, Kol Orev Lemino. Same story. Okay? So, right, it doesn't, in other words, instead of just simply labeling the bird, there are two extra words over there. There's Kol and Lemino. Okay? It requires explanation. The Gemara is going to provide. So Tana Rabbanan, Orev, Ze Orev. So the first part of the Bryce says that when it says Orev, it means Orev. Okay.
Good.
Now the Gemara later on will pose the following question, which really should bother everyone here. Meaning, what? The purpose of the Bryce is to provide explanation. So when we quote the Pasuk, and when the Torah says Orev, and the author of the Bryce, who's ever staying over the Bryce, right, this is an audio format, meaning we happen to be reading it from the Gemara right now, but you have to understand, brises were said one to another. So the Torah says Orev, so listen carefully. You know what Orev is? It's Orev. Right? And as an audience, you hear that and you say, what did you just teach me? So the Gemara later on will ask that very question. Like, that doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound like the brises helping us understand.
Pointing to it.
Oh, good. Very good. Okay, we're going to get to that. Orev is Orev. As kol orev, right? Kol ha orev. The lahavi orev ha amaki, the orev of the valley. Okay, fine, good. In other words, there's another subspecies of orev, the valley orev. Good. That's what the kol is coming to include. Limino of its type. Lahavi orev haba b'rosh yonim. The orev that comes roshe yonim. Okay, Gemara later on will explain that a little bit better. But in the meantime, however, Amamar. We're going to go over the Brisa again. The Gemara does what it does traditionally. It repeats the Brisa and then looks at it a second time and says, what just happened? Amamar. Orev ze orev. Atu kaman kai. Like, what's going on over here? Is the author of the Brisa actually holding a raven in his hand? And when teaching this Brisa, he says, Orev ze orev. And he actually is like holding it up. And the Gemara is asking, like, no, he's not. Meaning that's not what happened. That's not what's happening in the Brisa. Elaima orev ze orev uchmi. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, here's what we'll do. Orev is a reference to the black orev, right? If we assume it's a raven, you're right. Ravens are typically black. Those deep black birds. Vechenu omik vutzasav tatam shecharos ka orev. And the pasuk in Shir Hashirim is that. Your kvotzosav, your locks, your hair, your curly hair, is black like a raven. Okay, good. Ha'amaki chivra. And then we talk about a different species of raven. And we call it in the Braisa the amaki, the amek, the valley. Now, what's the nature of a valley? It's deep. This is talking about a white raven, or a lighter raven. V'cheinu omer umareo amok mena'or. From a perception standpoint, you have dark and you have white. The white seems darker. Black and white next to one another.
Seems brighter, you
It seems brighter and deeper.
Deeper.
It seems deeper. So in other words, when we say Amek, Amek meaning a valley, that's the lighter raven, the white raven, which white next to black, the white seems like a deeper hue. It perception standpoint. Kemari. Umare Omek Mina Or, that's the Gemara quoting from Parshas Tazria, that when you have leprosy, right, the Torah describes it being deeper than the skin.
No, I understand, but it actually says Ze Orev. The Orev is spelled differently than the original Orev.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Kemare Chama Ha'amuka Minatzel. Okay, like the sun, which is deeper than the shade. Orev Ha. Now. Okay, that was number two. That was the second thing mentioned in the Braisa. But remember, it also says, let me know. What is that coming to talk about? V'orev haba b'roshe yonim, amar hapapa lo tema da'asi b'resh yune. It doesn't mean something that moves ahead of the yonah. Ela didami reshe l'diyona. Its head, the head of this particular species of raven, is similar to the head of a yonah, to that of a dove. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Next. Hanates, we are now up to the nates. Okay, again, I'm trying to make some sort of sense in terms of the order of the Gemara over here. Okay, I can't. All right, for some reason, the Gemara is moving about in the Parsha. And another thing that is challenging is I don't know which Parsha the Gemara is working off of. Shishmini Parsha or the Re'eh Parsha, or both. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Hanetz ze Hanetz leminehu. I'm sorry, let me do that correctly. Hanetz ze Hanetz leminehu lahavi es bar chirya. Okay, my bar chirya, good, what does that mean? So Amar Abaye, shurinka. In my notes I have falcon.
He said it was a small falcon.
Small falcon, huh? Okay, good. Amar Rav Yehuda, ha chasida zudaya. The Chasidah mentioned in the Torah, I think this in modern Hebrew as well, the Chasidah is referred to as a stork, right? So Zudaya, Zudaya Lavana, the white stork. Lamani Krashmo Chasidah, Shasu Chasidus im Chavruseha. Now, it's called the Chasidah because it performs Chasidut. Insert joke. Rashi says, Michal, I'm going to refrain. Michalekes Mizonoseha. It divides its food. It allocates food. Ha'anafa zu dayarag zanit. The anafa mentioned in the Torah is the dayarag zanit, some sort of angry bird. Insert joke. Lamani krashmo anafa shemena efes im chavroseha. It quarrels. Neof usually is a reference to adultery. But that's not what it means over here. Huh?
It says the heron.
That's not what it means over here. It means quarrel and anger. Rashi quotes the pasuk hit anef bi. Kadosh Baruch Hu says you angered me, right? Okay. Obviously you see the relationship between adultery and anger. Right? That should be apparent. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista. Amar Rav Chista. Amar Rav Chanan berei derava. Amar Rav esen v'arba ofos tamein hein. Here we go. Okay, there are 24. Right? I've said that many times. The Gemara's already said that a number of times, that the magic number is 24. 24 species of non-kosher birds. Hein. So Amalei Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista l'Rav Chista deheicha. So the Gemara says, where are you going to find 24? Ide Vayikra. So if you go to Vayikra, Esrim Havu. Sorry, I made a mistake in the beginning of today's daf. It's 20 in Parshas Shmini, Sefer Vayikra. In Ide Mishnah Torah, and if it's the one in Mishnah Torah, that's yesterday's... Yesterday's parsha, so Esrim v'chad 21. Okay, havu. Okay, so 20 versus 21. Okay, but that's not 20. Neither is 24. V'chitema ra'a. Sorry, let me do that correctly. V'chitema da'a diksiv v'yikra v'loksiva b'mishnah Torah. So let's say it like this. In Vayikra, we have a bird called the da'a. Dalet aleph hey. And in Mishnah Torah, no such bird being mentioned. Right, we have a similar one. We have something called the Ra'a, Reish Aleph Hey, but not the Da. So maybe what we can do now is Shajo Alayu. Okay, so good. So in other words, we'll take the Da'a, add it to the list in Parshas Re'eh, Re'eh has 21. Add one more. That's 22. The Gemara says that's great, but we're still too short. Akati asked from the train avu. Amar lohu hachi amar avu di imech mishmei de rav. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, limina, limina, limino, liminehu. Okay. What you're going to do is not only count the actual birds that are mentioned in the parshios, but you're also going to count the word limina. Because, right, here in parshios Re'eh, you see it clearly. Right, the Nesher, Peres, Va'aznia. So there, those first three, we're just mentioning a bird. Ra'a, Aya, Daya, Limina. Okay, so there you see now you have an extra word. Kol Orev, Limino. Bas Yana, Tachmas, Vesashachas, Vesanev, Liminehu. Kos Yan, Shuvin, Tinshemes, Ka'as, Rachma, Vesashalach. So you see, various times in the parsha, you have the word Mina mentioned. The Gemara counts four. Harei Kan Arba. Okay, so that's four in total. So now, right, we're over the 24. So ihachi esrim vishis. So now that brings us up to 26. Because here's what we did. We added the da'at to the list in Re'eh. So that gets us to 22. And then we have four mentions of limina or limino or liminehu. And that gives us now to 26. Assuming that the Torah is alluding to a different species of bird. Amar Abaye. So Abaye's answer is that the da and the ra are actually the same bird. If you think that they're actually two different birds, the Gemara says, hard to imagine. Why Mishnah Torah le'usufe hu da'asa? Because the whole purpose of Mishnah Torah is lahosiv, is to add. So Mishnah hachadichsiv da'a, Mishnah hachadichsiv ra'a. So over there it says da'a. Over here it says ra'av lo ksiv da'a. And it doesn't mention the word da'a. L'shma mina min ra'a v'da'a achasi. So it's got to be that the da'a and the ra'a are really one and the same. V'akasi chafhei havu. So the Gemara says, okay, good. But we're still not at 24. So here's what we did. Again, let's just quickly summarize. 21 mentioned in Parshas Re'eh. We're going to add... we're not going to add. In other words, the da and the ra are one and the same bird. But still, 21 plus 4, because it says limina, limino, liminehu, limino. So that takes us now four more. Four more is 25. Amar Abaye, Kishem Shara, Vida Achasi, Kach Aya, Vidaya, Achas, He. So Aya and Daya are going to be one and the same. The Isaac Adacha, the Gemara is going to make a very similar argument. The Isaac Adacha Tarte Inon, because if you really think there are two, Mikhbe Mishnah Torah lo Sufuhu Da'asa. The Mishnah Torah, the whole purpose of Mishnah Torah is to add, is to be Mosif. Mishnah Hacha Dechsiv Lemina A'ayo, Mishnah Hazim Dechsiv Lemina Adaya. Yeah, and it is curious, says the Gemara, that we have the Torah uses the words Lemina here after the word Daya, there after the word Aya. Okay, right? You're right. Here in Devarim, Aya. There in Vayikra, Daya. But it uses the words Lemina. El Shmamina, Aya V'daya, Achasi. That's a Torah tipping to us that Aya and Daya are really one and the same. V'chim Achash, Aya V'daya, Achasi, Lama Le Lemechtav, Aya V'daya. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question. So if it's the same bird, why are we calling it by two different names? Right? And this question, right, you can apply. Very good. This question you could apply to the previous one as well. So the Gemara says, "Ukeditanya," because the Gemara says, "Look, the answer to that comes in the form of a brisa." Rebbe Omer, "Ekra ani aya daya lama namra." So here, right, we're reading it as aya here, meaning in Parshas Re'eh. So why there in Parsha Shmini doesn't say the word daya lama neemra kedeshlo titein piskon pela baldin lachlo? Because you can get into an argument with somebody. And the argument can go something like this. Shalote ata kore aya vahu kore daya. Ata kore daya vahu kore aya. Happens to be that this particular bird goes by more than one name. I call it aya, he calls it daya. If the Torah only gave it one of its names, so he could argue, oh, what I'm eating, the bird I'm eating tonight for dinner, it's fine. Right? Because you call it aya, I call it daya. Apparently, at the time of the writing of the Torah, the name of the bird actually went by both names. So, to make sure that we have answers for the people who are quarrelsome, so the Torah is going to call by both. Okay. Meizve, the Gemara challenges, Lama Nishnu Bebehema Mimnei Shesua Veofos Mimnei HaRa'a. Now, why does the Torah repeat? Right? Which is just a very broad question. Right? But in Mishnah Torah, though, there's a lot of repetition. Yesterday's Parsha Re'eh was basically a lot of repeat of what happened in Parsha Shemini. So the Gemara's answer is HaShesua, that when it comes to the animals, we're adding the Shesua, which was not mentioned back in Parsha Shemini. And the and by birds, the Ra'a, which was not mentioned in Parsha Shemini. Now, what does that mean? My lav, me de me behema, da hasam la sufe, ofas name la osufe. Maybe the whole purpose is to add a bird, not to redo. Lo, hasam la sufe, hakla frushe. And the Gemara says, no. When it comes to the Shesua, that's actually added. When it comes to the Ra'a, no, that's coming to explain. The Ra'a is the Da'a. Okay? So, question on the table. How do we make 24 birds out of the Torah? And the answer is, answer number one is that we start with Parshas Re, where there are 21 birds that are mentioned. We're going to, the fact that here in Parshas Re it says Ra'a, back in Parshas Shemini it says Da'a, one in the same bird. This is all Abaye. Okay, but so that it leaves us at 21. So how do we get to 24? No, Ra'a and Da'a are the same. The same. So that's 21. So how then do we get to 24, where it says, Limina, Limino, Liminehu? It says it four times in the Parsha, so that's 25. Right? And so that's no good, because we want 24. Ra'a and Aya, no. No. Let me say it correct. Aya and Daya are one and the same bird. Okay. That is answer number one. Okay. Answer number two. Pligi de Rabbi Abahu. Okay. This is going to argue with Rabbi Abahu. Dama Rabbi Abahu. Ra'a zu ayah. Okay. The Ra'a and the ayah are one in the same. Meaning, in Parshas Re'eh, you're going to find two birds. Ra'a and ayah. They're actually right next to one another. And they're both in Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hara v'sa ayah v'hadaya lemina. So Rabbi Abahu says, Ra and the Ayah are the same. V'lam nikrash ma'ra, shero b'yoser. The reason why it's called Ra'a is because it's not the actual proper name of the bird. It's its ability. It could see very far. V'cheinu omer nisiv lo yadu ayat v'lo shizvasu ayin ayah. Right? Even the eye of the ayah could not see it. So you see that an ayah has remarkable vision. Tana, we learned in a brayso. Omenes bebava v'roa nevala be'eretz Yisrael. The brayso describes the ability of vision of this type of bird. It could stand in Bavel and see, a vulture all the way out in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, sounds like a little bit like an exaggeration, right? On the side of the Gemara, it actually says Guzma. Okay. A little bit of an exaggeration, but still, the point is, of course, is that the bird has unbelievable vision. So, okay. Let's do a little bit more for today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. So, midra'a hainu aya, mechlal dadalav hainu ra'a. So, now, if ra'a and aya, this is now all according to Rabbi Abahu, if ra'a and aya are the same, so it then sounds like da'a is not ra'a. Okay? In other words, obviously because Rabbi Abahu was arguing with Abaye. So, michti. So the Gemara says, how does that work? Mishnah Torah lo sufu da'asa. The whole purpose of Mishnah Torah is to add, is to be mosif. So, maishna hach dechsiv da'a, or maishna hasam deloksiv da'a. So, right? So, how come over here it's mentioning the da'a back in Shemini? I'm sorry. Back in Shemini it mentions da'a, over here it doesn't. So the Gemara says, okay, so now it comes out that according to Rabbi Abahu, we're going to have three birds. The Da'a, the Raya, the Ra'a, the Ayah, and the Da'a are all Da'a are all the same. So the Gemara says, what about the Da'a? So Maishna Hasim Dechsiv Leminehu, Ayah, Maishna Hasim Dechsiv Leminehu, Ayah, Ela, Ela Adaya. Ela Shmamina. So the Gemara says, okay, so according to Rabbi Abahu, we're going to have to walk away with this conclusion. Shmamina. Dara Adaya Va'aya Achasi. These four birds, right, two of them mentioned in Re'e, two of them mentioned in Shmini, are really all one in the same. So in Shmini you have Da, Dalaf Aleph Hey, Dalad Aleph Hey, Daya, Dalad Yud Hey, in Re'e, Ra'a, Reish Aleph Hey, Aya, Aleph Yud Hey, so the according to Rabbi Abahu, all one in the same bird. Okay.
You know what doesn't make sense is that the Parsha is supposed to name names.
Right.
And they're arguing that all these names are the same, and then the Minei, which is totally nonspecific.
Right,
that's not an example. What does Minehu mean? What are we supposed to not eat?
Right, in other words, it must be referring to some other bird. Okay, and if that's all true, so then I'm just going to leave off with a quick question. So if that's all true, so then how does he get to the 24? If all those four birds really are one bird...
Two, no.
Huh?
Two are the same. They're
all right, four. In Shmini, no, it's fine. The answer is obvious. The answer, it's good, because in Shmini there are 21 birds that are mentioned. Right. Let me go to Re'e, not Shmini. In Re'e there are 21 birds that are mentioned. In Re'e, it's Ra'a and I'm not right. All right, let me pause over here, I'll figure it out. I'll come back tomorrow, I'll have an answer. How does Rabbi Abba get to 24? Okay. All right, so for today, one important Rashi that I wanted to say over, let me say it over, and then we will conclude for today. This Rashi goes way back to the beginning of today's daf. I should have mentioned it way earlier, okay? End off with a Rashi. Take a look back at Rashi all the way back in Samach Beis Amud Beis. The Rashi of Chazya de Darsa V'Achla. Okay? All the way back on Samach Beis Amud Beis, Rashi is about 10 lines from the bottom, a little bit more, about 12 lines from the bottom of the page. Ra'u chachamim shedoris v'ochels v'hainu girusa darmin l'kamet b'per kol abasar. Okay, it's a particular type of bird which they saw was dores. It was a predatory bird. Arsalan girusa sharilan lishne dekavri shetamu ketamu mitoch she'en anu b'kiyam b'hem nirali. Rashi writes the following, important Rashi, really important Rashi. Nirali, da'ofa balafanenu. If let's say we come across a bird, yesh lam shema yidros da ha haftan golos da dagma hayu mechaskin betar lachas man reusha dareses. Look, if you don't see it behaving like a predatory bird, so Rashi says that's not going to be good enough evidence because it happened to be that in front of us it didn't demonstrate predatory behavior, but it could. Rashi writes ve'ein of nechal lanu ela b'misoros of. So the only birds that we're now entitled to eat, writes Rashi, is only those birds that come from Masora. Shemasu lanu avosenu b'tahor, that our forefathers gave to us as kosher. Ushalomasu lanu, however, if we don't have a Masora, yesh lachush, we should be concerned that this bird might in fact not be kosher. Over Masoras yesh lanu lismach kedam lakamen she'of tahor necha b'Masoras. And then Rashi quotes the Gemara that we learned today in today's daf, that a bird can be eaten, but Misora, that can be eaten with a tradition. If there's a particular tradition to eat that bird, so then we have the right to eat it. So Rashi over here writes very clearly that the only way that we identify nowadays, I mean, we're talking Rashi, 12th century, but same thing is true in the 21st century, right? The only birds that we eat nowadays is only with a Misora.
So you would eat turkey.
Yeah, so, right. So after reading this Rashi, now you realize, all right, how did the turkey work? How did that come into being? And now you realize that you start to see. It's a controversy. Right. Okay, pause over here, and we'll continue tomorrow.